All right, so we'd like to thank Karen and Jake Abelovitz for sponsoring this morning's Locks and Learns. Ilui Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Eliyahu ben Abba, and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother, Yeshua ben Shimon Dov, the Neshama should have an Aliyah.
Okay.
So we have a new Mishnah in front of us. Chapter 3, Mishnah 12. For the most part, if you aren't here to see the other Mishnayos, you hear the other Mishnayos, you'll be okay. We will reference the past Mishnayos in passing, just to give us a little context for some of the commentaries. But again, if you weren't here, you'll be okay. So let's jump into the Mishnah. As we read the Mishnah, try to think a number of things. Number one, broad picture, what the message of the Mishnah is. And number two, on a more detailed level, what the mini messages of the Mishnah are. So big, broad picture and mini picture. So the Mishnah says, Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Rabbi Shmuel says as following, have a kal l'rosh, you shall be, what does kal l'rosh mean? So notice, as was mentioned in the past, translations are often commentaries on their own. Because if I would just translate the word kal l'rosh, it would mean be easy to be to the head, to the
lightheaded
beginning, right? Right, so be easy to the head. We don't know what we're talking about. What is the rosh? What does it mean to be kal to the rosh? They translate it here as quick to render service. I don't even know what that means. Right? So right away we're noticing that this Mishnah is going to be ambiguous. And whenever the Mishnah is ambiguous, it'll give a lot of opportunity for commentators to give their own two cents as to what it means. Number two.
What?
Superior. Okay, so we'll see that's a commentary as well. So I have a kal to rosh. But we'll do it soon. V'noach l'sishchores, you should be easy to something.
Approach
to a suppliant. Okay, I don't even know what that means, right? So noach l'sishchores, we have some second vague phrase. And then the third one we could understand. V'vimekablos kol adam b'simcha. Should greet everybody with joy, with happiness. Okay, so now what we're going to try to figure out is what do those first two mean, and does the last one inform what the first two are as well? What the commentators do here, in addition to trying to figure out what those two mean within the context of the Mishnah, so what's another option that we have? If we can't figure out what the Mishnah, what the words in the Mishnah mean explicitly just by reading them, what would be another step that we can make in order to better understand the content of the Mishnah?
You look to other sources which have a similar phrase.
Okay, so one is to go to other places where you see similar phrases. Okay, that's good. And what's another important thing that we can do? What? The Mefarshim, right? But I'm saying if we're acting as Mefarshim and we want to try to figure it out. So number one is we're going to look at other places. Number two, let's give somebody else a chance. Yeah?
Maybe look at because before or after.
Okay, good. Look at the immediate context. What comes before this Mishnah? What comes after this Mishnah? And see if we could put together a picture from the context. So one option is to look at other places where it talks about these things. And here I'm not sure there are that many. But number two, which is a lot easier since we have it in front of us, is to look at the immediate context. And just to broaden this out a little bit more, this is a running theme that we have throughout Perkei Avos. Are the subsequent Mishnayos, are the proximity of Mishnayos important to understanding the subsequent Mishnah? So if I'm a commentator, am I just looking at this Mishnah on its own, and that's it? Or am I looking at the Mishnah beforehand and saying that that could teach me something about this Mishnah as well? Commentators will differ, but we'll start off with the assumption that maybe it could help. Maybe by looking at the preceding Mishnayos, we could understand at least the main topic of what this Mishnah is doing. So in order to do that, now we have to remind ourselves, a quick review, of the last few Mishnayos. So right underneath in source number 1, we see Mishnah 10. Right? So what we just did was Mishnah 12. So we're going to go all the way back, right in front of you, right underneath where we left off, is Mishnah 10. Is a statement that says as follows. Hu haya Omer. He used to say, Kol sheruach habrios nocha hemenu, ruach hamakom nocha hemenu. Anybody who people like, God likes. V'chol she'ein ruach habrios nocha hemenu, ein ruach hamakom nocha hemenu. And if people don't like you, then God doesn't like you. There's a lot over here. We unpacked this a few weeks ago, so we're not going into detail. But the big picture is that there's some sort of correlation between people liking you and God liking you, and the inverse correlation is true as well. The Mishnah continues, Rabbi Dosa ben Horkinus Omer, Rabbi Dosa ben Horkinus says, Shena shel shacharis, v'yayin shel tzoharayim, v'sichas yoladim, v'yeshivas batei knesio shel amei ha'aretz, motzien es ha'adam min ha'olam. So Rabbi Dosa ben Horkinus tells us that there are a number of things that if we are accustomed to them, it will remove us from the world. And we assumed at the time that the world meant this world, meaning these are bad habits. These are things that take away our productivity, including basically just wasting time. When we could be productive, instead we're doing things that are not productive. So that's the main message of that part of the Mishnah. So number one is, people like you, God likes you. Number two, here are things to be productive. Number three, next Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar Amodai Omer, HaMechalol Es HaKadshim VaMevazeh Es HaMoados VaMalbim Pnei Chaveyo Barabim VaMefer Briso Shel Avram Avinu Alav HaShalom VaMegal Panim B'Torah Shelo Kahalacha Af HaPi Sheyesh Biyado Torah Ma'isim Tovim Ein Lo Chelek Leolam Haba. So this Mishnah lists us a bunch of things that if we do, takes us out of the next world. So the Mishnah before us spoke about this worldly things that lack productivity, lack efficiency. And now here are a bunch of things that remove us from the next world. And we analyzed this to some extent last week, what each content of each one of these is. Now from that, we get to our Mishnah that Kal Rosh, Noach L'Sishchores, and Mekabelis Adam B'Simcha. So is there some sort of connection between all of these things? So maybe we see it on our own, maybe not. That's why the commentators are going to help us. The Derech Chaim, source number two of the Maharal. So the Maharal is bothered by, or at least does want to explain why Mishnayos connect to previous Mishnayos. Not all commentators care. The Maharal is somebody who does care. Remember, who else is somebody who cares? Anybody know a broad commentator who cares about connections between Mishnayos? The Abar Benel. So, right, we spent a bunch of time talking about the Abar Benel, who connects entire chapters together, not just subsequent Mishnayos. The Maharal is very into connecting Mishnayos to each other. So here's what he tells us in source number two. Hevekal Lerosh. Hamamar hazeh nismach achar ma'amar Rebbe Lazar Hamodai ki Rebbe Yishmol hayamiyad achar Rebbe Lazar Hamodai. So he says, simple answer. Why is this coming? Why is our Mishnah coming after the previous Mishnah of Rabbi Elazar Amodai? Not because of content, but because of chronologically, this person lived after that person. Right? So he's removing it, at least according to the first answer, from content and building it in terms of chronology. V'chen Rabbi Akiva, who's the next person, subsequent Mishnayos, Shiniskar Acharav, Chavero Shel Rebbe Yishmol, Haniskar Kan, Ulechach Niskru Zachar Zeh. And so we go from Rabbi Elazar Modai, afterwards lived Rabbi Yishmol, and Rabbi Yishmol was friends with Rabbi Akiva, and that's going to be subsequent Mishnayos. So that's number one. And he continues in that paragraph to say that that follows what we saw in the first chapter of Pirkei Avos. The first chapter of Pirkei Avos was what? It was a chain of people, starting from Moshe Kibal Torah Misinai, and went. He received from him, and he received from him, and he received from him, a link that goes through all of the generations, and this follows that paradigm. That's answer number one. Look at the second paragraph in source number two, where he gives another explanation. V'yesh lefarish ki nismichu hamamarim ba'atzmam. So now it's not about chronology, it's about content. Ki zeh hamamar havekal l'rosh. This statement that it's good to be easy to the beginnings, again, whatever that means, Bala Hodia, he's going to give us an explanation. Ki yehanagas ha'adam, shiha ruach habrios nocha hemenu kemoshi yisbar. So the content of our Mishnah, and we're going to understand everything in our Mishnah based on this Mishnah that was two before, that said that we should be kind to people, ruach habrios nocha hemenu. We want to be socially accepted because that is something that's important and related to our relationship with God. Right? So social acceptance is going to help us understand our Mishnah in front of us. So what problem is he going to have now? If he's saying, I'm going to understand our Mishnah based on a previous Mishnah that talks about social acceptance, what's the problem? Okay, how did you understand the other one? Fine. But
he skipped one,
right? That's not the immediately preceding Mishnah. That's two concepts before, and it's two Mishnahs before, and there's even another concept in between. So how can you tell me that it's jumping off of a previous concept, but we have middle, intermediate concepts that have nothing to do with it? So the Maharal knew that, and he's going to take care of that. He's going to have to explain himself. So he says as follows. V'samach zeh el maimer shalamala, kosher ruach abrios nocha emenu, ki alav hu shayach. This is related to the context of social acceptance. Rak shalo samach osa lumayla. But why didn't it come right after that one? Ki mamar shal kol shiruach abrios nocha emenu, huva agav grara shal kol shiras cheto kodemes. Now we have to go one Mishnah back. I didn't give this to you. Right? We could have reviewed the entire chapter. Right? But the Mishnah before Mishnah 10 says that if you have fear of sin before your wisdom, then your wisdom is going to endure. So that was the Mishnah before that. So jumping off of that Mishnah, Shishneim Ba'olavar Advarim Shem Tluyim Zeh B'Zeh Ein Zeh B'Lo Zeh. So we have to say you need wisdom with fear of sin, and you need actions with wisdom, otherwise your wisdom's not going to endure. Umamar Shal Sheyiras Cheto Kodemes Huva Agav Grara Shemidaber Lifnei Zeh. So then we have, rolling off of that is the next concept of Basar Sator Mina Adam Kimoshis Bar Lamala Vu Ikar Amay Marazeh. So what basically he's doing, I don't want to get stuck in the nitty gritty because it gets confusing after a while, but the main idea that he's saying is that we're going to understand this Mishnah in the context of Ruach HaBrios Nocha Menu, social acceptance. And he goes away and he says, like, I'll tell you why it skipped two Mishnayos, because it was dealing with something else and it had to take a break and it had to do a tangent, because it was talking about something else. And now it's coming back to the main point, which is social acceptance. Right? So big picture for what our meeting for now is, the Maharal is telling us is that we're going to understand all three of these statements in our Mishnah based on social acceptance. Yes, we skipped two Mishnayos in between, but that's okay. He explains why. We're not going to go into it now because it's going to take too long and be too confusing. But for our purposes, as we go forward, social acceptance is the way to understand our Mishnah. So when we read Kal L'Rosh and Noach L'Sishchores, which on their own don't tell us anything socially necessarily, or you don't have to understand those terms socially, we're going to understand them socially because it's an explanation of how do you get to Ruach HaBrios Nocha Emenu. How do you get for people to like you is Kal L'Rosh, Noach L'Sishchores, and Mekabelas Kol Adam B'Simcha. Still haven't said anything yet. We have to understand what that means. But at least we have a framework is that we're talking about social acceptance. Next paragraph in the Maharal, he gives one more explanation, which I think is important. Remember one of the things that it said not to do in last week's Mishnah was to malbim pnei chaveru b'rabim, to embarrass somebody publicly. We spoke about that last week. So Maharal's third explanation is that why is this Mishnah after the last Mishnah is because it's the opposite of malbim pnei chaveru b'rabim. Here you are smiling at people, you're not embarrassing them. Right? So that doesn't tell us what the other two parts of the Mishnah mean. It's in a more limited sense as to why it's connected, but it's serving to counteract embarrassing people. Instead of embarrassing people, let's smile and be nice to people. Okay? So those are three concepts. Either it's chronology, right? It's either chronology, or it's to counteract embarrassing, or it's to teach us the big picture that we're talking about social acceptance. So now that we have that framework, let's try to figure out, now, what does it mean, Hevei Kal L'Rosh? What are we talking about within the realm of social acceptance? We'll see later on that not everybody's going to read it as social acceptance, but we'll save that for now. Most commentators do read Kal L'Rosh and Noach L'Sishchores as related to social relationships. So let's look at source number 3. This is Rashi. So Rashi says here, Hevei Kal L'Rosh b'tchila, ba'od sh'ata bachur, Hevei Kal k'neged borecha lasos ritzono. So Rashi gives us a broad explanation here, that Kal L'Rosh means that when I'm young, Rosh means young, when I'm young, I should be quick to do things, do mitzvos. Why? Because it's a lot easier when you're young to do mitzvos. It's a lot easier when you're young to learn. And that creates the habit. It creates the networks in your brain and in your body and the muscle memory and all that stuff, that at a certain point, it becomes easier to do. So it's kal rosh, do this when you're young, because then when you're sishchores, when you're old, lashon zikna, he says, it's going to be noachlo, it's going to be easier for you. And so there's a developmental message here, is that start while you're young. It's hard to get this message to people while they're young. It's one of those messages that people realize when they're older and regret the fact that it's too late. But it's never too late. Never too late. To the extent that parents or teachers or educators can try to convince or change or, you know, trick kids, I guess, to doing things effectively when they're young, when they get older, it'll be more effective. Next line here, V'yesh Omrim, so that was sort of a side point. Back to the social point, in the next line, it's a little bit of a gap I gave you. It says, V'yesh Omrim, the Yud Aleph, V'yesh Omrim, Kal Larosh, what does Larosh mean? Not while I'm young, but Laroshe Ha'ir V'shofteha. It's telling me, how do I interact with government officials, with people in charge? And what's the answer? How do I act with people in charge? So the message is that when you're dealing with leaders, when you're dealing with people in power, the personality that Chazal, or at least this Mishnah, wants you to have is given humility, comply, be nice, don't rebel, don't fight, accept it. Right, we've seen themes like this in the past because we have talked about how to relate to government in previous Mishnayos, and this really goes along with those lines of that the way Chazal understood. Remember, put this into the historical context, is that Chazal, the sages who were writing this, were under rule of other people. They were they didn't necessarily have the religious freedoms that they wanted, and the answer, at least according to Rabbi Yishmael, is given. Interestingly, who did I say our next person's going to be? In Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is a little bit of a different personality. How did Rabbi Akiva deal with people in charge? So he was all part of Bar Kokhba, rebellion, right? So how Rabbi Akiva dealt with that, and how he might be a counter personality to the mainstream approach of Chazal, which is give in, could be an interesting thing we'll discuss in the future. Remember, we also saw this with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when the Beis HaMikdash was being destroyed, what was one of the things that he asked for? Right, he was told you could have three things. So the three things that he asked for was Tein Liyad v'Chachamah, you should have Refuah for Rabbi Tzadok, and then what was the third one? Yavna, no, and also to save the line of for David HaMelech, right? So you should have the patriarchs. So what did Rabbi Akiva in that Gemara say? Rabbi Akiva yells at him. Or critiques him. I don't know. You don't hear the voice in the Gemara. The Gemara said, if I was there, Rabbi Akiva says, I would have said, don't destroy the Beis HaMikdash, right? And so the whole, I guess, Rabbi Akiva's willingness to be a little bit more chutzpahdik or rebellious to leaders is going to counteract with the mainstream message of rabbinic Judaism here is relax, calm down, you know, put your head down, don't get into trouble, and you know, Hashem will take care of us at some point in time. Barry, then
Buzz. That's why Rabbi Yishmael was held by the Romans as a child, because apparently because of his extreme handsomeness, and it was many, many years until I think Rabbi Yeshua had to redeem him at a tremendous ransom expense. So his relationship with government is very personal.
Right. So that could be that historical context of him personally. Yeah.
Maybe. And they were both the answer.
So there's a little bit of the debate which Rabbi Yishmael we're talking about here, whether or not he was one of them or not. I didn't get into that this time. Maybe we can look into it if we want to go into it further. But there are some who say that it's not the Rabbi Yishmael of the Arugim Malchus. It's a different one.
So maybe Rabbi Akiva thought of Rosh as Hashem instead of Malchus.
Okay, so we'll see some commentators that say a little bit later. So for now, big picture is Kal Rosh means given to people in power. Next section in Rashi, source 3. Benoach l'sishchores, be nice to, or be pleasant to the sishchores. Who's a sishchores? Zegizbar, the treasurer, the tax collectors. V'dugmasu b'torah locham, so he gives an explanation as to why he thinks a precedent for why you can read it that way. But again, you're not fighting, you're just giving in, this is your taxes, you give in your taxes, that's it. Next section, as again in Rashi, next line. Sishchores lashon abodas asar im notu bem techel an garia shel sar ki yotze avinoch lasos ritzonam. Again, they're taking away your animals so that they could, as taxes to help the king. Give in, don't fight, just let them take it. And then, so that's how you deal with people in position of power. What about the last line? Have a mekabel everybody with simcha. Im kol adam yad barachani imam. And talk to everybody nicely. Everybody you should talk nicely to. If you look in the Rambam in source number 4, he's also going to understand this in similar terms to Rashi. Kalus he has rizus. So kalus means to be light, means to be some sort of alacrity. Should do things with quickly. Vinoach hanachas vayishuv, do it calmly and nicely. V'amar b'zad tzivui, so what's the message? Kishetia im ish gadol hamayla. So Rambam takes it away necessarily from positions of power and government, but just in terms of social relationships with people who are on a higher position than you. It doesn't necessarily mean positions of power, but somebody who's of more respectable character than you, and at least in the hierarchy of whoever makes those decisions. So somebody who's an ish gadol hamala sim atzmacha kal lenegdo. So you should be easy and quick next to him. Va'amud lefanav l'shamsho kasher yirtze. And you should serve this person. Right, so if you have a rabbi, if you have a teacher, if you have somebody who's you look up to, you respect, you should be quick to try to stand next to them, be with them, serve them, so you can learn from them. Umasur atzmachalo, give yourself over to their needs. Ukeshetia im shachor haseyar, kilamar tsiir b'shanim. Now he flips it. Rashi says sishchores means old. Rambam says sishchores means young. Which is an interesting thing that the same word can be interpreted in the exact opposite ways, right? So kolomar tsiir b'shanim lo ta'asekin. So if you're hanging out with people who are on a lower age bracket than you, so then you don't have the same relationship with them. You don't treat them in the same way. We have to keep into account that we relate to people differently. So somebody who's younger than you, lo ta'asekin, elahukir nafshecha imo. You should actually try to make yourself a little bit more respectable around such a person. Don't play games with them. Don't. Basically, if you have a position of stature, you have to be careful about letting your hair down and letting things loose among people who are, again, lower than you in that status. But then it finishes off and says, don't think just because I told you, don't let your hair down. That doesn't mean you have to be mean and aggressive. That's not what I mean. Whether or not the person is higher than you, lower than you, everybody. It doesn't matter if they're free people, if they're slaves, I don't care what social status they have. Kol ish mimin ha'adam, anybody who is considered a person, which is anybody, you should accept them b'simcha u'b'tuv leva. You should greet everybody with happiness and with a smile. V'zeh yoser, and he finishes off, mimamar shamai. Remember we said previously, what did Shamai say? You should be mekabel everybody, b'sever panim yachos. So the Rambam has a cryptic statement here where he says that sever panim yachos, to greet people with a kind countenance, is not as high of a demand as we're reading here, to accept everybody besimcha. It is higher to accept everybody besimcha than it is to just accept everybody with a smile. Why do you think that is? So if you flip the page, maybe we'll come back to source 5 in a second. But if you flip the page, the Medrash Shmuel says, source 6, V'kasav od zeh l'shon av mekabel eskol adam besimcha, hu yoser mimasha amar Shammai. Like the Rambam says, it's more than what Shammai says, b'sever panim yafos, ki yachol ha'adam laharos panim yafos, uvelibo hu hefeh. I can fake a smile, right? I can pretend that I like you. I could put on a show. Ach besimcha, If I'm actually happy, I can't fake happiness. The requirement of Rabbi Shmuel is not just to fake it, but to actually work on yourself till you feel it, till you have the personality that whoever you greet and whoever you encounter, you will feel besimcha to see that person, and that's a higher level of just faking the smile. Okay, so that's I think a beautiful idea. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when you have a blackened beard, you're young. Gray beard is older, white beard is elderly. Mm-hmm. So according to the Rambam, that he interprets the Shacharis as the younger person.
Right.
That may coincide with that. That he interprets the Shacharis as referring to the beard that an individual has.
Okay, yeah. I hear. So the Shacharis beard. So now, flip back to source number 5. I'm just going to do this one last... one last idea about the social relationships before we see a miscellaneous scattering of some other nice ideas. So the Maharal frames this similarly to the Rambam. Remember, the Rambam basically has two social groups, right? What are the Rambam's two social groups? The people above you and the people below you. So who did he leave out? Your colleagues, your co-workers, the people on your status, your level. So the Maharal helps us out with that in source number 5. V'yesh l'das ki ha'anhaga sh'tzarech ala adam she'anhaga so yesheira v'tovim abrios nechlekes l'gimel chalakim. There are three parts. Ha'chelek echad eich ya'anhaga so imgdole ha'maylu menu. So number 1 is people who are higher than you. V'ha'beiz ha'chelek ha'beiz eich ya'anhaga so imbnei adam she'im ketanim menu. People that are lower than you. How do you deal with people who are on your own status? And believe me, these really are three different groups. You have people who are very good with dealing with superiors, right? And what makes you good with dealing with being, you know, superiors? It's actually following this advice. Is give in, right? That makes you a good dealing with your superiors, subservient. And then there are some people who are very good, you know, managers, people who are, you know, leading other people. Again, it requires some level of humility, but it's a little bit of a different relationship. And then there are people who can be good at those two, but they really can't manage to get friends, because friends require not necessarily to be subservient, but it requires to balance it a little bit, and that can be a hard balance, and people struggle with it sometimes. So you can struggle or be good at each one of these without necessarily impacting the other, because they're fundamentally different relationships that require different personality traits, right? So that's number 2. Number 3 is etian agasim chaver. Fine. So what's the message then? Those are my three traits. Those are my three statuses. Vilachach amar shetzarach shiakal rosh lios nishma lekol dvarav ulekol tzivui shelo yakal v'zeh anhaga sheim bnei adam sheim gedolim chashuvim mimenu. For people who are greater than me, again, I gotta listen. I gotta be subservient. V'tekev shiomar v'yitzav v'davri yanishma. The second they tell me something, I'm gonna go do it. Keneged anaga asheni, for the people who are ktana mimenu, amar v'noach l'sishchores, v'amar she'el noach lehem, v'lo yidaber mehem gavos rak b'noach. Even though I'm, quote-unquote, better than them, although that's not a fair statement, even though I have a higher status than them, I still have to be pleasant with them. I have to be noach to the people who I am above. I have to speak to everybody kindly and nicely. V'im yishal echad mishchore rosh mimenu daber yeh noach lo v'lo yeh kasha lo. If somebody asks me something, even though they're on a quote-unquote lower level, I'm kind, I'm nice, I'm not mean, I'm not aggressive. And then, what about the friends? U'kineged b'nei adam shehim kiyotze bo b'nei gilo amar v'abe mikabo kol adam besimcha shinai kabo b'chol adam. Treat everybody with respect. U'vizehu yotze yedei kol abrios. Then you'll help everybody. Brios shem dolim, brios that are tanim, and brios that are the same. For the friends, just make sure you have that pleasant, that happiness, that countenance is going to help with them as well. So basically the message is, be nice to everybody. Right? So flip back. Just to end off this section, what is all of this? Why are we talking about all of this? So it's one thing to say it's a nice idea. It's another to root it in a biblical mitzvah. And it's important to have that perspective that everything we're talking about here is a biblical mitzvah. What's the biblical mitzvah? V'haftal areicha kamocha. Look at source number 7, the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel says that the whole Mishnah is talking about bigger, broader concepts. V'alimudim ha'ela sharsham b'torah. Everything we're talking about has roots in the Torah. Number one is shenemar b'pnei seiva takum. When it comes to how I relate to people who are above me, who are elderly, that's a mitzvah of b'pnei seiva takum. And that's why I have to be kal rosh. And I have to respect those who are wise and those who are greater. It's a biblical mitzvah for me to respect people who are older and more wise than I am. When we treat everybody nicely and we have a smile and we're happy when we greet people, that is v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. It's a biblical mitzvah to be nice to people. So keep that in mind. Next time we don't feel like being nice to people, let's try to overcome it, because it's not just a nice idea, it's really a fulfillment of v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. It's a biblical commandment. Okay? So until this point, we have an understanding of social relationships. What we're going to do now is we're going to see a scattering of Mefarshim that all explain it in a slightly different, interesting, some of them inspiring, some of them just nice ideas. But I think it's going to be an interesting exercise. Look at source number 8, the Medrash Shmuel. The Medrash Shmuel is a commentary that was contemporary of the Arizal. He lived in Sfat. And what he did in the 16th century was he basically compiled all of the sources that were there until that point and put it into his book, the Medrash Shmuel. So if you ever want just a rundown of lots and lots of different sources, especially early sources, you know, medieval and late early modern sources of Pirkei Avos, you go to the Medrash Shmuel. He's going to quote you a bunch of different ideas. So here he's going to quote to us here three or four ideas. Number 8, the Medrash Shmuel says, the Haritva Zichron Levracha Kasa. Have a kala rosh, la osem shem chacham nevonim, vehem la olam kemo harosh la guf. So he says, la rosh means similar to what we've seen until this point, but not exactly the same. People who are smart, people who are wise, we should be nice to them. But why is that called rosh? Because they're like, in a metaphor, they're like the head of the body. The leaders lead the people like the head leads the body. And that metaphor is going to be important as we go forward. Look at the next one. Next paragraph, same source. The Efsher Ode, Shishmi Anusha Adam Ikabla Lab Ol Hagolos Besimcha Uvituv Levav. Kevin Shu Ratzon Elokim. So now he says, and this is totally sort of not the pshat, Kal Rosh means accept the exile with happiness. It's a strange message, right? So why am I accepting the exile with happiness? Right? Because it's what Hashem wants, right? So kal rosh. Let's keep reading. Hold on. So kiyotz eshu ratzon elokim v'zeh shekasav have kal rosh kilomar l'rosh ulesar v'shofet hamedina te'akalo lasos ritzono. It's actually not very different than what we've seen until this point. He says, so what does it mean kal rosh? It means be good to the heads of governments. Right, so kala rosh means the same thing we've seen until this point, and he's actually framing it in the same way we've said it, because this is a message for galus. This is a message for being in exile. When we're in exile, we could be grumpy, we could be angry, we can fight the power. That could be one thing that we can do. That's not the message here. The message is just take it, grin and bear it. Right, put on a fake smile and try to enjoy the time that you have here in galus. Again, it's the counter message to what we're used to, but it is an interesting thing to think about. If we go through galus, we don't know when galus is going to end, right? We don't know when it's going to end. So you have Tisha B'Av, and you mourn the Beis HaMikdash. But if you go through every single day grumpy, right? It's not going to be a good recipe for Avodas Hashem. So he's saying, just accept it. You wanna fight it a little bit here and there, write a letter to your government, fine. And remember, keep in mind what governments we're talking about. We're not talking about the United States of America here that they're fighting necessarily. But
Nazi Germany?
Yeah, that's what I'm
right. So again, he's not, right?
He's talking about with the Romans. You have to keep it within context.
Rabbi Shmuel is, but Chazal later sages take a similar approach. And to tell you the truth, again, I'm not agreeing with it, but there were rabbis at the time who took similar approaches and said, you know, stay and everything's going to be okay. And now it wasn't. And we learn, and then maybe that's where Tzahal comes from, and we fight back a little bit. So history does play a part of this. But still keeping, I think the answer is that you can't judge this statement by things that happened, you know, later that were sort of
generalization that's supposed to be applicable for us for all time,
right.
And that's not.
Well, maybe not. Right, that could be debatable. Whether or not there are other times where a different approach, maybe a Rabbi Akiva approach, would be more appropriate. Okay, so I right. So good. Let's keep going for a minute. Struggle with this again. There's no right answers to these things. You could struggle with these things. Go to the next paragraph. Rabbi Moshe al Shakar Kasav Yesh Mefarshim LaRosh Hu Hashem Yisparach. This we haven't seen. Rosh, actually, Barbara mentioned it as a possibility that Rosh means God, right? Kal LaRosh means be easy to serve God. It's referenced in Rashi to some extent. This is the third line, the third section in source 8. So Rosh stands for Ritzon Avicha Shabashamayim, Rosh. The will of God in the heavens, Rosh. So do the be called to God. Okay? Next, it's in the next paragraph, he says something similar to that. Be called to God. Fine. Now, look at source number 9. The Chaste Avos, the Ben Ishchai. Another interesting idea. Uvizeh yachzik l'chatova v'timsachin be'inav, period. Now, v'noach l'sishchores, middle of the first line, misha haya oshir, v'ha'ani asher olam choshech ba'ado, v'he'ani, so somebody who was rich, and he became poor, asher olam choshech ba'ado, sheyesho tishchores t'yanoach lo b'tivacha, so takot miriboy dvarecha, Vishalosav Velosak Bidal Dvaro. I think it's Vihaani. I don't think it's saying he became poor. I think it's saying you have two people. You have an usher and an ani. And how does the usher deal with the ani? At least how I'm reading it. How does the usher deal with the ani? So when a rich person is dealing with an ani, a poor person, he should make sure he does it calmly. He shouldn't get angry at the person. And think about this. When somebody asks you for money, right, and they're coming around, how quick are you and myself to get grumpy and to get, you know, like wanting to get a job, right? So that's not the approach. The approach is that when you're in a position of power or a position of, in this relationship, you have what the other person wants. Don't be, doesn't mean you have to give everybody X amount, but it means just don't be grumpy about it. Don't be mean about it. Don't be aggressive about it. It's one person. Okay, and then what's the message?
His word became dark to him because he lost everything.
Even if you want to say that, the message, whether or not it's somebody who was rich and became poor, or whether or not it's a poor and a rich person, at the end of the day, the message is to people who are poor, whether or not they were rich and became poor or poor to begin with, people who are poor, be nice to them. Don't, because they are sensitive, and I think that's the most important point. Vitamid, the fourth line, beginning of the line, Vitamid dim aso mitsuya bonaso meruba. These are people, whoever it is, now we can extrapolate to anybody. These are people who are sensitive. And when people are sensitive and they're suffering, it is our job as the person in the, again, quote-unquote, position of helping or power, to be nice, to be kind, to be gentle, not to be mean or snappy or aggressive. Gam milamdenu, so that's one message. The second message is also pretty fascinating. Gam milamdenu inyan shlishi, vevim mekabel kol adam besimcha, klomar, yesh lecha simcha bebesecha shel nisuin. So he takes it a totally different way. Not that you should accept people with happiness, but you should accept people to invite them to your simcha. Right? So if you have a simcha, like you're making a wedding, kiyotze, lo tiskor adelas lifnei aorchim. Don't shut people out. Ela tazmin kol adam mikrovecha umakiracha biyom asimcha shetieh beveisecha. Invite everybody. Adam shukarov omin reyem vahuvim. Right? Should I say it's adam? I see we've hit a chord here. Achar shukrovo oavo v'lo hizmino liyom simcha kapin ma'od v'kashal abdavar zeh. If you have somebody who's close with you and you don't invite them, it's hard for them. They take it personally. It's sensitive. So what can we tie to this? The whole Kamsa and Bar Kamsa scenario. So why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? Because they didn't invite him. We have to be, again, the message isn't invite every single person in your Rolodex, right? Our circles are so big nowadays that it's impossible to invite everybody. But the point is that we should definitely think very carefully about whether or not, if I don't invite this person, are they going to be upset or not upset? And then if I have to err on the side of, okay, it's an extra $36, $72 or whatever, so it's either that or an extra flower. $100, $200, whatever we're up to now. What at Rolodex? I was trying to, like, you know. Whatever it is, it's to keep in mind. It's to keep in mind to be sensitive to other people's feelings. Whatever the context, extrapolate to keep it to be kind to people who are in positions of that they're going to be insulted. People who are sensitive, be extra kind to them. Be extra nice to them. Okay, so we're going to end off. Hold on, question for a second. We're going to end off with one last source, and I think we've learned a lot of important things today. But I think this source 10 is very powerful as well. Perhaps even the most powerful to think about in terms of how to improve ourselves to move forward. So look at the Perkei Moshe in source 10.
Who's Moshe?
Perkei Moshe is Rav Moshe Almosnino. Also was a Spanish refugee. Got kicked out of Spain, lived in the 15th and 16th century. Okay, so the Perkei Moshe writes as follows. The Efsher, Sheyeforshu Divrei HaShalem Hazeh, B'kavana Shenis. There's another message. Obviously, we're picking up in the middle, so he's already said a first message. Here's the second message. B'sheiniach ha'hanhaga ha'ru'uya la'adam b'chol asher ya'aseh. In order to have the proper relationship and actions when we're dealing with other people, pen yikre'eu kemikra k'silim asher zicharnu ashleim ha'kodmin, so that we don't act foolish with other people. Halohema Rabbi Dosa Rabbi Lazar, as we've spoken about in previous Mishnayos, how we should avoid doing the wrong thing. Vihine hu mevur, shanhaga ru'uya bepula samaisim kula. The proper path to take when it comes to all of these actions are who? Asher zecher hafilosof besefer amidos, as the philosopher said in his book on character. Who is this philosopher in his book on character? No. No, Rosado is after that. No, that's not. You have one of two options. You have one of two options. Either he's talking about the Rambam and Hilchos Deos, or possible of Sadja Gaon. You could also be talking about Aristotle, right? So the Perkei Moshe was holding in all of the various Greek philosophers that were popular in the medieval times. So he's not clear who he's talking about here. For somebody who's an expert on him, they might know that this is how he always refers to him. I just want to point out that it's not clear at this context whether he's talking about the Rambam or Aristotle. So, at least from my limited knowledge. So he says that we have to follow what the philosopher says. And what does the philosopher say? We have to do our actions should be guided by wisdom, by our seichel, straight thinking. We should not have our actions done by our passions, by our emotions. We should have our seichel by impulse, by right. Our seichel should guide our emotional experiences. O kavana, o machshava, b'tachlis chitzoni, mimishpat haseichel yasher ka'amor, or some other external thought that's not directly guided by our intelligence, by our straight thinking. So follow your straight intelligence, your thinking, your seichel, when it comes to your actions. So what does that mean? It could be Rambam, it could be Aristotle. V'chein, next paragraph. Amar HaShalim HaZeh. So our Mishnah says, Shekasher ya mishpat b'chol asher yivchar la'asos mafas ha-seichel. Anything we're going to be doing should be guided by our seichel. B'zeyyeh kasher tiktam lo ha'etza ru'uya k'mo she'iniach ha-filosof sham v'umuvur ba'atzmo. So the philosopher already said this, and it makes sense on its own. When the seichel demands or commands you to do something, and what's the seichel? Shehu ha-rosh. And so, kal le-rosh. Be easy to the rosh, to the seichel. Umashcheno b'rosh kenoda. Right? So it settles. Your seichel is in the head. Achar ha-etza ha-ye'utza mafas ha-tvuna. Roi she'e kal kenesha la-sos ha-davarhu. When your seichel tells you to do something, do it. Right? When you're guided by your intelligence, by your head, if that makes sense, then you should be quick to act on your intelligence. And that's what it says, Kal Rosh. Rotze lomar shiye kal hatenua, v'lo ye kaved l'mishpat ha-seichel, shu'ar rosh k'nizkar. When your head tells you to do something, do it quickly. Amnam. Third paragraph. Kasher yemitzad hitpa'alut. When it's your, we're just going to loosely translate this as emotional or passions are the things that are guiding you. Mashiyor alav hapit omiot, as Laser said before, it's impulsive, it's quick. Azroi shelo ye kalat nua la soso. Don't be so quick to do it. If you're being guided or influenced by your hitpal, by your passions, don't be so quick to do it. Adaraba. That should be a signal to you to slow down. Don't do things because of the biological reactions that you have, let's say when you're angry. Because then you're going to misjudge it. Like I said in the intro to the parsha this week, for those who are here. Slow down. Think about it first. So he's talking about the different biles, the way they understood biology back in the times. If these are the things that are guiding you, these emotional, these passionate things are guiding you, like kas, hagover, love, for that it says, Amar, you should kasher. Yeah, mishpat mapas tigboras hashechora. So he learns shechora as black, like black bile, which is getting you these bad emotions. So these az roish temiyusha velotamar. Then you should stop, slow down. Don't do it quickly. Velotia kalis nonea el amasa. Don't act quickly. So he doesn't say don't follow your passions. That's not what he says. He says slow down before you follow your passion. So if you get angry, that's a signal to take a deep breath, slow down. You still might be right, you still might have to act on that, but think about it first. So if the seichel tells you to do it, go for it. We know it's right. Go for it. You have to make sure your seichel's accurate. Sometimes our seichel's inaccurate, right? But if we think we're right, if we know we're right, if we have proof, if we go to a whatever, if our seichel is accurate, then follow that quickly. If it's our passions, if our emotions, okay, just slow down a little bit. So kal rosh, do that quickly. Noach l'sishchores, for the emotions, slow down, be calm, wait before you act.
And if finish. Your seichel is guided by your emotions, then just
right. So meaning, if your seichel, the assumption here is that you have perfected or at least working on, what a correct seichel looks like. That's definitely the given here. If you know that that's the right thing, then yes, do it. Right. So if you're seichel, because God's telling you that that's the right thing. So if that's a good example. If the mitzvah is X, so that's a good indication that my seichel is accurate here. And if you feel passionate about following that mitzvah, do it quickly, because that proves that it's seichel. Right? So there's nothing wrong with emotions. Emotions could be good. Emotions might even be very powerful at certain points in time. But it needs to be guided. Your seichel has to guide your emotions.
So how does one really know whether it's the emotions or whether it's the seichel? These things are in vain.
I can give you some good referrals. This takes a lot of time to be aware of. First of all, in terms of the Rambam's approach, you have to know what seichel is, and you have to sit and learn and think and philosophize and read everything that you need to read in order to understand what the seichel is. And it takes a lifetime of work to focus on this. It's not going to be quick. So the answer is learning, reading, and training, and getting guidance from people who know what they're talking about to try to figure out, is this seichel, or is this more of an inaccurate passion or emotion? Now, last paragraph here, and this will finish off. V'nasan lo klal gadol, and he's giving us a good guidance here. L'shelo yavo l'klal kas lo yispal, how not to be angry and not to have this unhealthy emotional excitement. Lo mitzad tikboras haduma, v'lo mitzad tikboras hashchora. So again, referring to the medieval biology that they had as to how anger happens. B'shikabel l'kol adam b'simcha. How do you fight this? How do you work on your anger? Being nice to people. Being happy.
Being happy.
Accept everybody with happiness. Ki asimcha tinaged es haka'as. Happiness, when you're happy, those things that make you angry when you're not happy don't make you angry anymore. Right? Asher ha'itzavon karach b'kavo tamid kenoda. When we're sad, when we're depressed, when we're down. V'yosu mekabel es kol adam b'simcha v'tuv leva v'kol ya'aveu. When we accept and greet people, then people are going to like us. We're going to have good social relationships. V'tiyah ruach ha'brios nocha emenu. Getting back to how we started, then people are going to like us. V'yargil atzmo shlo l'ispal mafas ha'chomer. And we're not going to be guided completely by our physicality, by our base emotional and drives. Shu hamateach v'hamavo el kol ha'maisim ha'tovim. That's the guide and the opening, the source to good actions. She'alibo b'reshuso l'chol asher yachpos yitzno. So that I can control my emotions with my seichel. V'lo yehu b'reshus libo. And not that my emotions and my drives are what's guiding me. Shaz yiskaber yetzer hara ala biyata ela taiva b'merutza nimresetz. Because if I'm driven by my passions and by these base desires, then the yetzer hara is going to fester and it's going to take over. V'hu anirtzel razal b'omram b'milos k'tzaros kololos kol ha'jush hazeh rishayim heim b'rishus libam. So this is summarized in the statement of Chazal that the wicked are in the hands of their desires, about tzaddikim libam b'reshusam, but righteous people, their desires are in their own hands, meaning that, not that they don't have desires, but that they can guide their desires and drive their desires based on their seichel. Valken hizir ha'shalim hazeh b'chlal ha'gadol hazeh. So this statement in Perkei Avos, our perfect sage told us, in this general statement, laharchik ha'adam mikol davar ra, how do you stay away from all this bad? U'mikol ha'pu'ulos yavo mafas ha'chomer, and stay away from all of these things that drive our base desires. B'shiyargil atzmo l'kabel kol adam b'simcha k'medubar. So train yourself to greet everybody with happiness. If you train yourself to greet everybody with happiness, then slowly your seichel is going to, people are going to like you, and that's good. That's good for your emotions. Your seichel is going to be able to guide your emotional experience, and through that, you're going to be able to be kalarosh, have your intelligence and your seichel act quickly and swiftly, calm down, have your emotions and your base desires in check, be able to have the self-control to slow down and think about it before you act. And the way to do that is by increasing our own happiness, by greeting other people with happiness. If we can do that, I think we'll be on a good track.